The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, I'm back from vacation. Had a great time in Southern California. Got to check out the sights of Hollywood, do all that touristy shit I've never done before, like go see the Hollywood sign and go check out the stars on the Walk of Fame. So that was pretty fun. And then went to Disneyland and had a great time there. I actually enjoyed myself because Disneyland does have a new park that they opened up that's basically dedicated to Star Wars. And I've never seen a Star Wars movie. I have no intentions of ever seeing a Star Wars movie, and I don't fucking care about Star Wars. But I did go over to the Star Wars land, and let me tell you what, I was pleasantly surprised with that shit. The two rides they have over in there, Smuggler's Run and Rise of the Resistance, those are two of the funnest fucking rides I've ever been on in my life, especially that Rise of the Resistance ride. Well, I mean, they're both really fun, but I was pleasantly surprised with Star Wars Land. So Disney knocked that shit right out the park. Weather was great, and just had a jolly old time in Southern California, and smoked a whole lot of weed, and ate a whole lot of food, and I'm back for more. Now, when I go on vacation, I actually I go on vacation and I turn off regular things in life. And so I really didn't pay a lot of attention to sports as I normally would. Like I missed the majority of what happened in the baseball playoffs. I missed most of last week's football games besides the Cowboys game. I was able to catch that. But other than that, I pretty much tuned out and just enjoyed myself on vacation. And now I am back and catching up. And it's crazy because speaking of the baseball playoffs, not only did I not expect to be where we are with the NLCS and the ALCS with the teams that ended up there, but I also didn't expect to be a day one back from vacation having to discuss the World Series and who the two teams are in the World Series, because both sides are set now. And first of all, I can't believe that we have no Atlanta Braves and no Los Angeles Dodgers in the NLCS. So, haha, Dodgers, you guys are losers. You had such a great regular season and blew it in the first round to the Padres. So that was pretty hilarious. And it was also hilarious because since I was in Southern California, you did see a lot of Go Dodgers signs and people wearing their Dodger hats. And it was pretty hilarious because the day they were eliminated, I saw a bus drive by that said Go Dodgers on the top. And I was like, they need to take that shit off because those motherfuckers lost. So, haha. But who did end up making the NLCS ended up being the Philadelphia Phillies versus the San Diego Padres. Could not have predicted that at all, especially with the Phillies, who ended up winning the NLCS yesterday in Game 5. They took the series 4-1. They easily took care of the Padres. You got to really give it up to this team as a whole, just because I really, you know, the Phillies, I personally expected them at the beginning of the season to be a playoff team. And then they ended up starting the season really shaky, and then they ended up firing Joe Girardi. And you really kind of write off a team after that happens. And they were really just plugging away. Kyle Schwarber continued to have a great season. They're starting pitching with Aaron Nola. They really just were dominating. And Zach Wheeler, too. I mean, the two of them are just really killing it. But then playoff time rolls around, and they really just lock it down. And they're able to get past the Braves, which was super surprising. Although they are division rivals, I just really did not believe in the Phillies at all getting into the playoffs. And now here they are. They are headed to the World Series. Bryce Harper had a phenomenal NLCS. He ended up being the NLCS MVP. He also had the game-winning hit yesterday in the eighth inning. The Phillies were down. He ends up hitting a three-run home run, and they ended up taking the lead and never looked back from that point in time. So Bryce Harper ended up batting 400. With an 850 on-base percentage, two home runs, five RBIs, so he just had a solid NLCS. And then over in the ALCS, the Astros just absolutely obliterated the Yankees. Now, I was not shocked by this. I expected more from the Yankees, but really the Astros are just too good in my opinion. And I really didn't think the Yankees had a chance just because I didn't think they were going to be able to keep up with the pitching. And they obviously did not do that. And when you look at the Astros, they have not even had a loss in the postseason yet. So they are just rolling along. But the ALCS MVP ended up being Jeremy Peña, the rookie who I've been singing praises of for quite some time now. I've been very impressed with what he's done this season, and it's good for him that he's a rookie. I think he's the seventh rookie ever to ever win the ALCS MVP, so good for him. He batted a .353 with two doubles, two home runs, and four RBI in the series, so he really just dominated, and he's not having any issues being a rookie and playing in the postseason. He's really taken over for Carlos Correa. That's the spot he had to fill, and Correa, he played a huge part as to why the Astros are where they've been over the years. You know, when they won the World Series, he was a huge part of that. And then over the years, when they continued to make the postseason, he was a big part of that. And then when he went and signed with the Twins, it's like, what's going to go on here? Are we going to have a good replacement for him? And it turns out Jeremy Peña, he has had a phenomenal season, but also had a great postseason. Alex Bregman had a great postseason. Verlander, Valdez, this Astros team is stacked. I'm not going to really get into any predictions on the World Series matchup, not until Friday's show, just because that's when the World Series starts, and I feel like that's when I'm going to get into it. But really, in my personal opinion, it's going to take a lot for me to pick against the Astros in this one. While you look at the Phillies, and the Phillies actually kind of remind me of the Giants back in, I believe it was 2012, the 2012 World Series when they beat the Tigers. It kind of felt like the Giants weren't really that great of a team in the regular season, and they made the playoffs, and then they just made this huge postseason run, and the momentum took them into winning another championship. And that's kind of what I see with the Phillies, is that you really don't want to overlook them. While I think the Astros are an excellent team, and I think they should have really no issues getting past the Phillies, they really should not overlook them, because this is a hot team, and coming into the playoffs, as hot as the Phillies have and as great as they've played, and they've played some damn good teams too. So I expect them to give their all to the Astros, but it's going to be real difficult for me to pick against the Astros because they're so good at every single position. And then in other baseball news, Bruce Bochy was hired as the Texas Rangers manager. He was the manager of my San Francisco Giants. We won three championships under him, so that's a good move by the Texas Rangers, in my opinion. There actually were rumblings the first year of retirement for Bochy. There were rumors that he was going to Texas then. He took a couple years off, and now he's coming back to baseball. He's going to go manage the Rangers. And I think that's a great move for the Rangers, just because Bochy's been successful at all levels of his career, especially as a manager. I mean, he took the Padres to the World Series. He took the Giants to three World Series, and they won three of them. And the Rangers, they're a team who have a good nucleus. They're really just missing that leadership, and I think Bochy's going to bring on some great leadership. And so we'll see what happens with Texas, but I feel like that's a great hire by the Texas Rangers. All right, and then so we had a great week 7 of NFL football this weekend, so let's get right into it. Let's start off with the Detroit Lions at my Dallas Cowboys. It was a very slow start for both teams. I mean, the Lions really never got going at all. But for the Cowboys especially, it was really, you could tell that Dak really needed to get dust the cobwebs off. But he did start to manage the game a lot better. It seemed like he was trying to force the ball at the beginning of the game, but then he kind of was like slowing it down. And the Cowboys, they just they were able to get the ground game going, make some good solid drives. Their defense did what they do. They absolutely dominated in the second half. They had 5 turnovers, a couple of fumbles, a couple of interceptions, a few sacks. They really had Jared Goff on his ass all day long. Micah Parsons, he made some huge plays. Trayvon Diggs had yet another interception. So the Cowboys defense is doing what they need to do. They're hands down probably the best defense in the league. And they were the reason why they got this win. The Cowboys offensively, they were, they did what they needed to do. They were very balanced. The ground attack worked out really well. Zeke had a good game. He had a couple touchdowns. Tony Pollard had 83 yards. So it was a balanced running game. And it was just an overall good game from the Dallas Cowboys. Not very impressive win, especially on the offensive side of things, but defensively, they just owned. And this defense is going to be really difficult for any team that goes against them this season. But the Cowboys did end up getting the win 24-6. And then we had the Atlanta Falcons at the Cincinnati Bengals. That went about as expected, with the Cincinnati Bengals just absolutely rolling over the Falcons 35-17. Joe Burrow, he had a phenomenal day. He went 34 for 42 with 481 yards and 3 touchdowns. Joe Mixon on the ground had 17 carries, 58 yards and a touchdown. And Boyd, the wide receiver for the Bengals, he had 8 receptions, 155 yards, and a touchdown. And it was just straight domination from start to finish for the Bengals. And they seem to be back on track, at least offensively for now. Then the Indianapolis Colts at the Tennessee Titans went as expected, in my opinion. The Colts had 3 turnovers. Matt Ryan just looked absolutely atrocious. Now, the Titans didn't completely dominate as you would expect them to, but they did get a good win, 19-10. And speaking of Matt Ryan, it was announced today that he has been benched for the rest of the season, and Sam Ellinger is going to be the starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. Matt Ryan not only suffered a shoulder injury, but he's just had a horrible season. I kind of feel like he's kind of having a Ben Roethlisberger type season. You know how Roethlisberger, he probably should have retired a year early or two. But last year he really just struggled and chugged through the season. And that's kind of what I feel like when I see Matt Ryan. He was already kind of having a down season last year. And now this year with the Colts, he was supposed to kind of have a resurgence. You know, they got rid of Carson Wentz and they thought, oh, Matt Ryan's going to come in and save the day. Well, Matt Ryan did not come in and save the day. Turns out he has been benched for Sam Ellinger. We'll see what happens with Ellinger. He is ex-Longhorn quarterback. So I am rooting for him just because I am a Longhorns fan. Always root for ex-Longhorns in the NFL. So I hope he does well. But as a quarterback, we'll see what kind of a quarterback he turns out to be. I don't really have high hopes, but overall the Colts do have a pretty good nucleus. They have a solid ground attack, horrible offensive line though. So it's going to be a struggle for him, but Matt Ryan has been benched, and it's just kind of hilarious because over the offseason, Jim Irsay was talking shit about how, oh, they need to get rid of Carson Wentz. He was the problem. Well, and then he was singing the praises of Matt Ryan. They trade for Matt Ryan, and dude is benched week 7. So congratulations to you, Jim Irsay. But also, Derrick Henry had a solid game as well. He had 30 carries for 128 yards. So I think it's safe to say that Derrick Henry is back. Then, one of the surprising games of the day, the Green Bay Packers at the Washington Commanders. The Commanders ended up getting the win 23-21. And this was one of the most pathetic showings from the Green Bay Packers this season. Now, the Packers have not had a great season overall, but this game was bad. I remember at one time I saw the stat line at the bottom of the game that I was watching. And I saw that I think it was like the third quarter and Aaron Rodgers only had like 63 passing yards. And I was like, holy shit, when was the last time I've ever seen Aaron Rodgers have that kind of game? And the highlights showed it. It wasn't just the dropped passes, but man, he was not having a good game. I think it's really weird. I continue to say with the Packers, they need to go through Aaron Jones and get him the ball and stop going away from Aaron Jones. He is a great weapon to have. And I know you need to get your wide receivers going as well, but come on, man. Aaron Jones has got to get in the game somehow, and I feel like if they stick with him, they'll be fine. But right now, the Packers have some issues. They're 3-4. Now, it's still early in the season. They could easily turn shit around, but right now, they are not looking good at all. Commanders did get a good win. Taylor Heinicke had a good game. He went 20 for 33 with 201 yards and two touchdowns. Brian Robinson had 20 carries for 73 yards, and Terry McLaurin had 5 receptions, 73 yards, and a touchdown. Then another shocking game, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus the Carolina Panthers. The Carolina Panthers absolutely dominated the Buccaneers. I could not believe I was seeing the score. I could not believe I'm saying right now that the Panthers, this Panthers team, dominated this Buccaneers team, and they did. They dominated them from start to finish. The Panthers got a huge win, 21-3. I mean, they just traded away Christian McCaffrey. They just traded away Robbie Anderson. Their whole team is in shambles. They have no coach. They have nothing going on, and they still kicked the crap out of the Buccaneers, who before the season began were most certainly a Super Bowl contender. At this point, they are going to be lucky. Now, they should make the playoffs because this is a very weak division, but whoa, what a game. You know, Tom Brady didn't have that great of a game either. He went 32 for 49, 290 yards. Mike Evans dropped a wide open pass. And on the other side of the ball with the Panthers, you know, like I said, they traded away Christian McCaffrey. So now Deontay Foreman is their starting running back, and he had a great game yesterday. He had 15 carries, 118 yards. So if you play fantasy football, this might be a guy you want to look up on the waiver wire if he's still available there, because I have a feeling he's gonna be the guy to go to for the Panthers. But what a game. And who would have thought that the Buccaneers would also be 3-4 at this point in the season? Once again, they could absolutely turn it around, but what I saw on the field yesterday was not good at all. Then we had the New York Giants at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Giants keep rolling. They got the win 23-17. It was a close battle from start to finish. I mean, it was just back and forth all the way. But then the Jaguars defense just wasn't able to hold on. The Giants were just able to eke out another one. While I don't think they're that great of a team, hey, they are 6-1. They still continue to win. They've won in weird ways. They've made comebacks. They go for 2-point conversions, and they just are really winning. And that's all that matters. The Jaguars, on the other hand, I knew they were going to have some growing pains. But they really did just drop the ball in the fourth quarter yesterday. So they really have to work on getting a lead and maintaining that lead and not giving it up in the end. So that's where I think they really need to improve. Other than that, you know, Trevor Lawrence didn't have a bad day. He went 22 for 43, 310 yards. Travis Etienne Jr., he had a good day other than this big fumble, but he had 14 carries, 114 yards, and a touchdown. And then Christian Kirk had 7 receptions and 96 yards. So overall, not a bad day from the Jaguars, but they have to work on getting the lead and maintaining that lead. And the Giants just keep on rolling. And the NFC East is not looking so bad. I mean, everybody's been making fun of the NFC East, acting like we're the bottom of the barrel. And it's like, no, the Eagles are undefeated. The Giants are 6-1. Cowboys are 5-2. So look out for these NFC East teams. We could be the dominating teams come playoff time. Then we had another weird game, although it is a division battle, so it's not that weird, but it was the Cleveland Browns at the Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore Ravens just got the win, 23-20. There was this odd sequence at the end where the Browns were trying to tie the game up with a field goal, but what ended up happening is I think it was going to be like a 54-yard field goal. One of their offensive linemen Got called for a false start, which was a close call. A lot of Cleveland fans are upset by it, but I mean, hey, it is what it is. Penalties are penalties, and your dude still moved. So that backed them up, made the field goal over 60 yards. I think it was a 61-yard attempt, and they ended up missing it, and the Ravens ended up just barely hanging on. But once again, their defense let them down in the end. They were able to hold on, but their defense really needs to get it together. Offensively, not too bad. Gus Edwards, he just started his first game and he had a couple touchdowns, so he had a solid day filling in. And so yeah, Ravens got the win. Not very impressive win, but they still got the win. Then we had the New York Jets at the Denver Broncos. Another weird game. Broncos, nothing from them. Actually, Russell Wilson ended up being a late scratch, I believe, on Friday, Saturday. It was announced that he was not going to play in the game due to a hamstring injury. So they had, I think his name is Bryce Ripien, as the quarterback. So that was not going to go well because nothing has been going well, even with Russell Wilson at quarterback. So it was not going to go well this day against the Jets. The Jets, Breece Hall, had a phenomenal day. He's had a phenomenal season. He had 4 carries for 72 yards and a touchdown, and also a couple passes for a touchdown as well. Unfortunately, he tore his ACL in yesterday's game, so he is going to be out for the rest of the season, which is just absolutely terrible just because he's had such a good, solid season, and you hate to see a guy go out like that, but it is football, and that shit happens. But the Jets did get the win 16-9. No surprise there at all, just because the Broncos not looking good. But the Jets are 5-2, a surprising 5-2. We'll see if they're able to maintain it, but ever since Zach Wilson came back from injury and has been playing, Jets are undefeated, so good for them. And they keep rolling. Then we had the Houston Texans at the Las Vegas Raiders, and the Raiders did what they needed to do. I mean, the Texans are pretty much the worst team in the league, at least I think they are. They are 1-4-1, and you could make a couple arguments. I mean, the Detroit Lions are awful too, but I think they have a little bit more heart than the Texans. But the Texans just got smashed by the Raiders yesterday, 38-20. Josh Jacobs had yet another game, and this is what I was saying about the Raiders, is they really need to make sure that not only, you know, Davante Adams, huge playmaker, but they got to make sure they keep getting that ball to Josh Jacobs, and yesterday proved it. He had 20 carries, 143 yards, and 3 touchdowns, so you got to go through Josh Jacobs. If he has a good game, chances are the Raiders are getting a win, so that was a huge win for the Raiders. Then you had the Seattle Seahawks at the the Los Angeles Chargers. And it was a surprising win by the Seahawks. I don't know what is going on with this team. I didn't expect shit from the Seahawks this year, and they are actually having a solid season. I mean, Geno Smith, give it up to that dude. He is having quite the resurgence with a pretty mediocre team. But the Seahawks just dominated the Chargers yesterday. The Chargers, you know, they got down, and they were not able to make a comeback. It looked like they were had a chance. But they just weren't able to put it together, and the Chargers do what the Chargers do. I mean, they are 4-3, but they are a team in disarray, and they really don't have any identity, in my opinion. And that's why they lost, because the Seahawks, they know how to win, and I think they just like that people doubt them. And so, yeah, they got a huge win, 37-23. Justin Herbert, he did have a good day, 33-51, 293 yards, 2 touchdowns. But the running back position for the Seahawks, that's been a big deal. Kayvon Walker, he had 23 carries, 168 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And it's just crazy because it feels like every week there's a new running back for the Seahawks, and whoever steps up just has a phenomenal game. So great game by the Seahawks, and just very surprising season from the Seahawks so far. No matter what they end up with this season, right now they're 4-3. And no matter how the rest of the season goes, I'm very impressed with how they've handled basically trading away two of their best players in the offseason by trading away Russell Wilson and trading away Bobby Wagner. That was their best offensive and defensive player. And so far, they are not looking like they lost much of a step. at least so far. And then last afternoon game was the Kansas City Chiefs at the San Francisco 49ers. And man, it was complete and utter domination by the Chiefs. Like, at first, it was a close game. Going into halftime, it was 14-13 Chiefs. So it's looking like, oh, wow, this is going to be a back and forth game. Nah, the second half started and the Chiefs just ran away with it. Patrick Mahomes had yet another flawless game where he went 25 for 34, 423 yards, and three touchdowns. Juju Smith-Schuster had a huge game, seven receptions, 124 yards, and a touchdown. And it was weird because the Chiefs' defense made the Niners' offense look like shit. And it should not have looked like that because the Chiefs' defense is not that good. But they looked really good. They forced some turnovers at some key points in time. They really had Jimmy Garoppolo running for his life. The ground attack was never able to get going. None of their receivers. Debo didn't do shit yesterday. Now that I say it, I'm like, I watched that game, and I don't even recall Debo Samuel even touching the ball at all yesterday. So great game by the Chiefs defense, but the Chiefs offense keeps on rolling. And so you really got to look at that. That was a huge win by the Chiefs and kind of a bad loss by the Niners. And now they're 3-4. And I wasn't really sold on the Niners as being a really good team this year. Obviously it's still early, so they could still make a nice run. Their division is not that great. But we'll see how the rest of the season shapes up. But the Niners, that was a very disappointing end to what seemed like it was going to be a solid game of the week. But speaking of shitty games, last night's Sunday night football game was an absolute snooze fest. It was so difficult for me to keep my fucking eyes open for the fourth quarter. Like, so it ended up being the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins got the win 16-10. And at the end of the game in the fourth quarter, the Steelers are driving. And I'm saying to myself, because this game seemed like it was never ending. It just took for fucking ever. Like, at first, it looked like, oh, cool, we're going to have a fun game here. Because, you know, Dolphins come right at the gate in the first quarter. They're up 13-0. Then the Steelers come back, and they score 10 points in the second quarter. And so going into halftime, it's 16-10. And we're thinking, oh, cool, we're going to get a real game. Then the second half starts, and nothing happens from either team. They can't get shit going. But on the last drive of the Steelers, I just am like, God, I know exactly what's going to happen in this game because it's so shitty. What's going to happen is the Steelers are going to drive down the field. They're going to get the touchdown and they're going to miss the extra point, and we're going to go into overtime tied at 16. And then we're going to have to sit through overtime, and then it's going to end up being a tie anyways because, geez, neither team wanted to do anything in the second half. I could not wait for this game to end. It was Tua Tagovailoa's first game back from his concussion. And everybody's making a big deal because, oh my God, the horror. He actually dove head first. Like, yeah, he plays football. I'm sorry that it is what it is. You all need to just get over it. But I know we want to bubble wrap all of our quarterbacks these days. But he actually didn't have a bad game. He went 21 for 35, 261 yards and a touchdown. So that's a good game to come back in. They got the win. It was an ugly win, but they still got the win. And then tonight's Monday Night Football matchup should probably be yet another snooze fest between the Chicago Bears at the New England Patriots. Right now, the Patriots are an 8-point favorite. And, you know, Chicago, they're just an awful team. New England is okay, but they luckily have Bill Belichick, so he's good for wins. Especially against a horrible team like the Bears, who can't score shit. And Mac Jones is supposed to be back from injury. He has missed the last couple of weeks with an ankle sprain, so he should be back. But I really don't expect this to be a high-flying, crazy game. As a matter of fact, I expect it to be about as boring as last night's Sunday Night Football game, where we see a whole lot of mostly nothing in field goals and just probably some turnovers. As a matter of fact, it kind of looked like pregame that it was a little bit rainy on the field. I haven't seen it yet. Since the start of the show, but so it's that could possibly play a factor into more of the sloppiness of the game. But I do have New England winning this one 17-10. And it is now officially basketball season, so we now have the Trout 10 NBA power rankings. We're starting off with them today. I don't expect to see all of these teams really in the top 10. I mean, it's just the first, most teams have only played two or three games. So nobody's really running away with anything right now. Nobody's really shown that they're a great team. But I could tell you one team who looks like shit, and that would be my Los Angeles Lakers. They are 0-3 right now, so they most certainly are not in my top 10. As a matter of fact, I am very annoyed with them. As I stated in a couple episodes before I went on vacation and I was making my predictions on the season, I don't really expect the Lakers to have a great season. I expected them to make the playoffs, but I really expected Russell Westbrook to be a cancer on the team. And so far, that's what he's shown to be, a cancer on the team. Cannot believe this dude is still on the team. Get rid of Russell Westbrook. Dude needs to be traded at this rate. I don't care what we get, because he's a cancer to the team. We would be so much better off without him on the team. Not saying we're a championship level team without him, but we are most certainly not a championship level team with him. So you will not be hearing anything good about the Lakers. As a matter of fact, starting off the season with the Lakers still suck, because last year they ended it with the Lakers suck. Now this year it's starting off as the Lakers still suck. Hopefully they turn it around. You know, the season just started, but damn, 0-3, looking like trash. Only made like, what are they, 6-for-33, I believe, from three-point range. Yeah, trash. Get rid of Russell Westbrook. He is a cancer to the team. But anyways, let's talk about 10 good-looking teams, at least so far. Starting off with, man, it's so annoying because my top 10s so far, you know, all baseball season, it was the goddamn Dodgers. Now all football season so far has been the goddamn Eagles, two of my least favorite teams right there, the Dodgers and Eagles. And now I got to start my top 10 NBA power rankings off with my least favorite team in basketball, and that would be the Boston Celtics. I had to put them number one because they're 3-0 right now. This week they beat the Philadelphia 76ers, the Miami Heat, and the Orlando Magic. So two of those teams are more than likely going to be playoff teams. Or possibly head to the NBA championship. That's how good those teams are. But the Celtics, so far, they look like they're picking up right where they left off last year. And as it pains me to put them at number one, I had to put them at number one because, hey, domination is domination, and they're playing great right now, at least in week one. The number two on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I've got the Milwaukee Bucks. They are 2-0, and this past week they played the Philadelphia 76ers and the Houston Rockets, and they just played two great games. They look like they're just going to continue their dominance. You know, Giannis Antetokounmpo, he's healthy, looking good, and you know, the rest of the team around him is good, and they're a championship level team, so I expect championship level play from them. And so far, the first week, they looked real solid. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings, a team I did not expect to be here, the Utah Jazz. They are 3-0. Now, I don't expect this to last long for them because they did trade away like all of their good players this offseason. So I really kind of see this as a fluke. This past week, they beat the Denver Nuggets, the Minnesota Timberwolves, and the New Orleans Pelicans. So 3-0 puts them at three on my top 10 this week, but I expect them to fall per over the next couple of weeks. Then at number four in my top 10 NBA power rankings, I've got the Portland Trail Blazers, who are currently 3-0. This past week, they played the Sacramento Kings, the Phoenix Suns, and my Los Angeles Lakers. They had a tenuous battle yesterday, and the Blazers ended up getting the win, and they're just a solid-ass team right now. And if Lillard's able to stay healthy, this could be a surprise team in the Western Conference. Then at number five on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I've got the Memphis Grizzlies. They are 2-1. This week, they beat the New York Knicks and the Houston Rockets and lost to the Dallas Mavericks. Ja Morant, he's just picking up right where he left off last year. He's just having a great season already. In the first three games, he's just balling out of control. He's really taken over offensively and defensively, and you really just got to watch out for this guy because I feel like he is the next great point guard in this league, and just a really phenomenal player who's going to be difficult for any defense to stop. And he has the potential to take this Grizzlies team to a championship, because they've been building over the last couple of seasons. They were really good last year. So we'll see where they go this year. But this week they are at number 5 on my top 10. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I've got the Phoenix Suns, overall record of 2-1 right now. This past week, they beat the Dallas Mavericks and the Los Angeles Clippers and lost to the Portland Trail Blazers. Chris Paul, man, he's just having another great season. He's just dishing the ball like no other, and he just looks like he's just playing great. So hopefully he doesn't get injured. I don't really believe in the Suns, but hey, right now they're 2-1 and they're starting the season off right. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I've got the Golden State Warriors. Their overall record is 2-1. This week they beat the Los Angeles Lakers and the Sacramento Kings and lost to the Denver Nuggets. I know 7 sounds pretty far down for them, but really, if you kind of look at their strength of schedule compared to a couple of the other teams up above them, that's really the only reason why I have them as low as they do, because, you know, otherwise they're still a solid team. They are the defending champs, and I expect the Warriors to have a good season. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I've got the Charlotte Hornets, overall record of 2-1. This past week, they beat the San Antonio Spurs and the Atlanta Hawks and lost to the New Orleans Pelicans. LaMelo Ball, he's having a great year. But Terry Rozier, he had a good season last year, and he's just picking up right where he left off last year. So the Hornets, I kind of feel like, are going to be a surprise team, especially if they're able to stay healthy, which is really always the question with every team, basically. But the Hornets, they have some young, scrappy players who I think can make some great, who could be some great playmakers. And it's really the defensive side of things where they're gonna lack. But I could kind of see them being a dark horse this team this year and making a nice little playoff run there. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I've got the Cleveland Cavaliers, overall record of 2-1. They started off the season with a loss to the Toronto Raptors, but then picked it up the rest of the week and beat the Chicago Bulls and the Washington Wizards. Really, Donovan Mitchell, he looks like he's fitting in nice with these young cats. And I just expect the Cavaliers to just get better as the season rolls on. And then rounding out my top 10 NBA power rankings, I've got the Denver Nuggets, overall record of 2-1. They started off the season with a loss to Utah, but then picked it up the rest of the week and got big wins, a big win against the Golden State Warriors, and then also beat the Oklahoma City Thunder. So the Nuggets looking like a pretty solid team right now, and we'll see where the rest of the NBA season goes, because just started this week, so things are going to start to get shaken up. You know, we've got a lot of football going on. We've got a lot of things going on with football, and we've got the World Series starting on Friday. So I will talk to you guys on Wednesday.